The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
Broadcasting live on RantEMRadio.com, this is the Ringside Report.
Today is May 9th, 2013. Remember that date, folks, because tonight the Ringside Report joins RantEMRadio.com, our new home.
The opinions you love. God. The history you crave.
There we go. Can't start off without that. But yes, it is our new home. My name is Lex, and the Ringside Report isn't the Ringside Report without my partner on the airwaves, Lee. Lee, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, sir. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling energized. I'm feeling fresh, new. I feel the love in the chat room. I've been playing 70s music all night. Well, not all night, but leading up to the show. And we got a ton of shit to talk about. Just a ton
yeah, we
of
do.
Shit. And, you know, first off, I just want to speak on Rant EM here. I mean, we're just debuting now on Rant EM, but we've been a part of the Rant EM process since basically the beginning of it. And, you know, as much as it is the Rant and AA, it's you, it's me, it's Ringside Report. You know, it's all the people in the chat right now. We'd like to thank everybody who's tuned in and listening. And by the way, I want to say this because it's already been brought up in the chat by Rage here. He thinks that you picked our new theme.
He's so racist because I'm black. That's what he thinks.
No, that
if it was Barry Manilow, he would have said you, but, you know.
No, that was me who picked it. But, you know, we both decided Wu-Tang would probably be the best to, you know, ring in the new Ringside Report. And we also have an outro, which will, of course, play at the end of the show. And, you know, you'll get to see what that is, too. But I thought that was kind of cool. So, Rant EM, not only is it us here on the air, but check out RantEMRadio.com because we're doing, you know, content on there. We're writing articles. You're not much of an article guy, but you're doing videos. You reviewed a movie that you said you would not watch. You said it, I believe you said it on this program. I know you said it on the Rant. You watched Django Unchained. I know you probably still don't want to talk about it, but you said it was a good movie. And now I guess I owe you a comic book reading.
Yeah, you do, sir. You definitely do. All right. And it's already been selected, so
I'll pick
something that I think you would like, that I thought you would like. It's not even a superhero comic.
Can I get, like, is there, like, a red box for comics?
No. I'll have to get it to you.
All right.
It's just a while, because that's the only way, but, yeah,
you know,
I picked something I knew that she would be interested in.
You know, I walk into, like, a comic book shop, and I don't know what the hell I'm looking for, or where I'm looking. I don't even know, like, the categories to look under or whatever, but yeah, I'll read that and I'll do a review of that as well. Since you manned up and watched Django Unchained, so
I did it for you, Lex. Because you know, buying comics these days are kind of like buying colognes. Back in like the '90s, you could go in and if you wanted Curve or you know, there was only one type. Now you go in, you know, somewhere you go to buy this stuff. You got 20 different kinds. You know, same with comics. There's like 30 different Avenger books, 40 different X-Men books and stuff. So it can be a little overwhelming, but I got your back. I got you.
All right. So, yeah, check out RantEMRadio.com. Follow him on Twitter at RantEMRadio. And that's our new home. And you can also find us. I mean, if you're listening to us, you're probably already listening to us via the Rant's iTunes feed. We're going to be on there from now on. It's all going to be under one banner. It's going to be neat, compact. So you don't even have to go search for us on iTunes. We don't have to fiddle around with getting approved on iTunes and all that stupid-ass shit. Now you just go to the Rant. We're right there every time we do a show because, you know, we're not on the same day. But
why'd you get so upset?
I hate iTunes, man. I hate iTunes so much. I don't hate, you know, once everything's done and playing and stuff like that, I don't hate iTunes. It's just setting everything up, the constant updates it asks you for, you know, all that bullshit. I can't stand it. I'm not an Apple guy, so it is what it is. But people in the chat kind of talking about themes. AA saying he's going to get a new theme for the rant. It's been almost 2 years now, and
he's way overdue. Yeah, he is.
He's way overdue for a new theme, and I've always enjoyed the themes that he's picked, and they're very memorable themes for me, at least.
There's one theme he had. I think it was around the time when I first started, and it was still my favorite. Can't remember it. If I hear it, I know it. But
right, and he's not shy to pull them out and play them all in succession. So, anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this past weekend, Border Wars. Now, you didn't get to see it live, unfortunately. We were supposed to have a chat in the Rant EM chat page, and I think I was the only one watching the pay-per-view, but we still had a good chat going. Let's talk about the feed first, because, you know, I experienced the feed. There are some people saying the feed was not working for them. I know that you saw a few forums say that as well. For me, the feed was good most of the time. Occasionally, it would go, like it would buffer for a little bit, and then it would go to, like, a low quality. And that was mainly during the Paul London versus Davey Richards match, which, of course, was the match I most wanted to see. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think it was anything that they'd have to give anything out for. But I also didn't experience what other people were experiencing. I guess it was different across the board. Did you watch the stream, or did you watch it some other way?
I'm sorry, say that part again, Lex.
Did you watch the stream, or did you watch it some other way?
No. I went back and watched them. I ordered it, and I couldn't watch it until I did watch some of it Sunday, and then I finished it up Monday. But what I played back and watched, there were parts where it started off fine, but if I went back and wanted to see something again, because you know how it is, you see something cool and you want to, you know, go back, it just was choppy and I couldn't fix it. So I think what seems to happen is as the days go by, they tweak it. You know, I mean, I know before you had to wait before you could get access to their to the pay-per-views, but now they put it up immediately. I guess as soon as it's over, you can go back and watch it.
Right.
But that was kind of, because it looked like I was watching something on dial-up, like 240 or something.
Oh man,
that's how bad it had got. It was like pixelized. It looked like an 8-bit game. But you know, it ended up working out and everything. I would have been more frustrated if I had watched it live, and it would have happened to me. But you know what? There's there was people 50-50, Lex. I know one of the guys who was a major complainer when it comes to stuff ROH, and he was like, his stream was fine. He had one hiccup, and I think he mentioned it around the Davey Paul London match. And then there was another guy that said all night long it was buffering.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean,
and I saw that too, because I was checking out forums as I was watching it, and people were saying, "Man, the stream is not working for me." And you know, here I am with the stream up, and it's running perfectly fine. It looks great and everything like that. And then didn't happen until later for me. So the actual event itself, though, I thought was a pretty solid event. Certainly nothing that was too over the top, nothing to make it like pay-per-view of the year for ROH. But let's run down the quick results real quick, I guess. Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander defeated ACH and Tadarius Thomas via overtime on ACH. I think this was a shock to both of us here.
Well, the right team went over. I mean, in my opinion, I feel like ACH and Tadarius, they got to work their way up as much as I like them. And Caprice and Alexander, they should have got a push a while ago. I mean, use these guys while you can, because we don't know how long we have Caprice for.
True.
And, you know, I was satisfied with who won. But, yeah, I guess I could be you know, if I watched it live, I probably would have been a little more shocked. But
yeah, and I think what it is ACH is the variable in this whole thing. I mean, he's the guy that just signed, and everybody loves him. And
everybody.
He doesn't have to do anything to get over. He just walks out, of the entranceway, and people are going nuts over him. And then when he actually does stuff in the ring, it just, you know, it amplifies even more. But like you said, Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander are two guys that have been here for a while now, but like 2 years or so. Coleman's been in ROH before that too. And Ring of Honor, what we like about Ring of Honor is people have to work their way up. Even if you've got, you know, so much promise, you still have to take your losses and stuff like that. And I think that's good also on the in the sense of it's probably good for their ego, you know, not to be catapulted all of a sudden as soon as they sign. So I'm okay with it. It was actually refreshing to see CNC get a win because they've been losing nonstop all the time lately. It's crazy.
I mean, at the point where there wasn't anybody left but them, and I felt like they should have. And you know, being there live a lot of times, it feels like they really have to. If it's anybody who, I mean, there's groups of people who I could name, you know, who really have to work hard, like Mike Mondo, et cetera, to really earn the respect of the crowd. But these guys, they come out and I ask myself the question, what do they have to do to earn the respect of the crowd? Because I just feel like they don't put out bad matches. I mean, they put out decent matches. They work well with everybody they've been with. And it's like, you know, people just, I don't know what's really been missing from them. You know, I've always been a fan of them. You know, Caprice has always cut good promos. I keep telling people don't sleep on Cedric Alexander. He's a very good wrestler. But, yeah, I agree with you totally when you talk about moving up, because the whole thing with ACH is that as much as I like ACH, and I really like ACH, you don't want to see someone come in and get handed the world and then they get signed or they decide they want to leave.
Right, exactly.
You know, so that's how I feel about that whole situation.
Roderick Strong defeated Mike Bennett via sick kick. This was actually supposed to be a triple threat match with Strong, Bennett, and Mike Mondo. But supposedly Mondo got hurt. I forgot what they said or how he got hurt or whatever. But he didn't make the match. This one was slow to start, but I thought it really picked up in the end. And overall, it was a pretty damn good match. More than I would expect out of just kind of. It just seems like this match was a random pairing. You know what I mean? It didn't seem like it had much going for it. And you know, I've admittedly missed a TV here or there, so maybe I didn't get all of it, but it ended up being a much better match. And at the end, Cheeseburger comes out and he just slams his tongue down Maria's throat. He went all in, and that distracted Mike Bennett, got Roddy the win. So, but again, like you said before, this is kind of WWE type silliness. Do you still think that way, or is Cheeseburger kind of dynamic in that way?
I mean, I feel like Cheeseburger was something that, when Charlie Haas was around, was interesting. And now it's just kind of, I mean, the fans like him, but they're trying to keep, you know, do something with him. Which, you know, Lex, I really don't mind. I'd rather them keep that shenanigans with him versus it being a wrestler.
Right.
A couple of feeling thoughts on this match is, first, Mike Bennett, you know, looked totally different to me with his haircut. You know, it's like he's preparing himself. He slimmed down, got his hair cut and everything. I'm guessing Roddy is a face now. Subtly happened. No, he's slapping hands with the glad hand.
I think it's been slow, like that slow turn. Because he's been, ever since he stopped doing his stuff with Elgin, or even Truth, he's been kind of like, you know, I'm still going to act like an asshole, but you guys love me for it type of deal, and it just kind of...
Well, he was bitching to Nigel about not getting respect in a title shot.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, he's kind of like, which I'm okay with, it just kind of happened. And then another thing that about, Mondo, this guy can't catch a break. I mean, he just got back.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know what it is. He just got back, Lex, and now all of a sudden he's, you know, he's hurt again, and he's such a cool dude. I just hate to see someone who puts so much into that. You know, but yeah, I mean, what you mentioned about missing TV, that's the down part of TV being taped in advance, you know, because when it's live, you want to be there, you want to show up. But when it's done in advance, it's kind of like, you know, you'll read a spoiler and it's like, okay, I don't watch. And if you know, or you'll read, you know, like for me, for example, if I see, if I go to TV and I see all four, you know, tapings in one night, it's not a necessity for me to see it on TV because I was there.
Right.
And, but all that TV, week from week to week, builds up to that next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch it, then it doesn't make sense. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, there's interviews you don't see and stuff live. And luckily, they put a lot of that stuff on their YouTube channel separately. So if you want to go check that out and don't necessarily want to watch the TV show, which there's really no reason not to watch the TV show. It's only an hour a week. It's just I forget sometimes, and then when I remember, it's not a good time to watch it, and you know. So I just kind of need to set. I need to set aside some time. You know, that's one of the disadvantages of it being on the internet is that you can watch it anytime you want, but you kind of have to force yourself to do that. You kind of have to chisel out that time slot for yourself. Sit down and watch it, because you don't have it like it's on TV. If it's on TV, you either show up or you miss it. I mean, nowadays you can watch it on the internet and everything, but for the most part, that's how it is. So
yeah, for me, I take it for granted, because I know it's there and I can come back to it. And then by the time it happens, you know, by the time I get around to it, there's other stuff that I have to. And the week went, well, I knew I had to watch this pay-per-view, so that's what kind of, you know, but if you miss the one before, which usually is the build-up to it, you know, you really don't know what's going on if you're watching the pay-per-view. But at the same time, the way they got it set up now is they do the pay-per-view. Then the next day they come back and do four weeks worth of TV that's going to lead to the next pay-per-view, which kind of leaves this dead space. And I guess it's up to us to have to, you know, we have to stretch everything out. You know, we have to put ourselves on that schedule where, you know, we separate it. I'm not one that really cares about spoilers. Like, you know, I'm okay hearing spoilers. It doesn't ruin anything for me. I'm still going to go watch. But, you know, I'm wondering if I just say that, if I really mean that, because, you know, like next week's TV, I'm not, you know, seeing what's going to happen or reading what's going to happen. I'm kind of disappointed in some things. You know, personally, I'm disappointed about one thing in particular, but I'm not going to get into that. And I think you know what it is already.
With the spoilers, or just in
general? I'm disappointed about something that involves Best in the World. You know, I'd rather see something different, but you know, it is what it is.
Okay, you're talking about the main event.
But yeah, I'm talking about the main event.
Okay. I quit match. BJ Whitmer defeated Rhett Titus via Rhett Titus quitting to save Steve Corino. So basically what happened here is Titus was like handcuffed to the ropes, and BJ Whitmer had a chair and he was going to hit Steve Corino with it. Corino turned his back and kind of, you know, put out his arms and said, "Go ahead, hit me." And so he was going to hit him. And basically to stop him, Titus started screaming, you know, he started screaming, I quit. And then Scum ran out, Jimmy Jacobs and Cliff Compton ran out and attacked BJ, which and we're not even going to talk about Whitmer and Titus because it was kind of a really forgettable match. But that led right into Jimmy Jacobs and Cliff Compton versus Michael Elgin and Jay Lethal, which was very interesting because during the match, Jay Lethal got injured, quote-unquote, and so Michael Elgin had to go one-on-two for a while, 2-on-1, and he was just kicking ass. You know, he was backhanding people and suplexing them and doing that double thing where he puts one guy on the shoulders, puts the other guy across his chest, and does the, you know, the last call. So for a while, Elgin was looking rather beastly, and then out from the crowd, Kevin Steen ran up and decided to be Elgin's new partner because of Lethal's injury. And long story short, Kevin Steen lost the match with a fluke pin. And after the match, you know, Elgin is pissed off at Steen, and now Corino gets to be the TV color commentator now, and I believe Scum gets a title shot because of this as well.
A couple of things. I don't know if Matt Hardy's, I think they're going to switch Matt Hardy. I don't know if he's going to get a shot. It might still be him. I think it's going to be someone big who's going to turn and is going to get a shot. I'm going to tell you what, all this blends in. I was sitting here talking to a couple of my friends, and I completely wanted to rewrite some of the matches here going into Best in the World that would make so much more sense to me. One of the things that I want to say, and I'm not going to jump ahead, but this involves one of the things that I would have done differently was, I don't think Kevin Steen had any business at all being in this match. We could have did without Kevin. If he wasn't going to be in his own match, he had no business at all being in this match, period. Like, I would have rather seen, okay, because right now there's nothing for, see, I can't say anything without jumping ahead. All I'm going to say is this, and when we get to that part, I'll add on to it. All I'm going to say is that I would rather have seen Jay Lethal turn on Michael Elgin, not necessarily join Scum, but turn on Michael Elgin, and they lost that way. I don't care for the whole thing of Kevin Steen being involved, because for one thing, ain't shit for Jay Lethal to do now. He's gonna have Roddy Strong status. Well, he's in Roderick Strong status right now. Ain't shit for Jay Lethal to do right now. Not as no in this condition he in. That no, Kevin Steen ain't had no business in that match.
I really don't want to see him turn heel or go to Scum though. I
don't want him to go to Scum. I want to see Michael Elgin and Lethal have a feud.
Well, I mean, that'll happen probably down the line if Lethal or Elgin are still there and everything like that. Right now, though, when you're focusing on Scum trying to take over the company and everything, doing an Elgin-Lethal feud just kind of seems counterproductive because they're two of ROH's biggest assets. You know what I mean? Putting Kevin Steen in this, to me, makes it really interesting. For one, he's kind of furthering his siding with ROH now and trying to finish this stuff with Scum. But on the other hand, he lost, and so he's not fully accepted by Ring of Honor, or at least the guys like Elgin, Lethal. You know, he's not fully accepted by them because, you know, even though he tried to help, he ended up screwing things up even worse. You know, and Elgin showed that. So, you know, I don't know. To me, that it makes it that much more interesting, but I see where you're coming from as far as Lethal not having anything to do now.
I'd rather Kevin Steen had been booked in a match against Matt Hardy or someone, well, especially Matt Hardy, and had lost, whether it been by some type of outside interference, whatever, but lost. But not in this. Not the way. I don't know. I just wasn't feeling that whole Kevin Steen coming in at the end.
Okay.
I don't have any issue with Steen at all. I liked Elgin. I liked Steen. You know, I liked the way, you know, things were going. But when he came in, it was just like, because I'm going to be honest with you. Once he came in, I asked myself, seeing this for the first time, I would have felt like, okay, they're not going to. I mean, going in, I knew that they weren't going to win. That's the sad part.
Right.
I knew that once this match was booked and the stipulation, I was like, okay, Elgin and Lethal aren't going to win. I mean, that's just it. They aren't going to win.
Yeah, but I mean, you can have predicting, something that's going to be to the point where you know what's going to happen, but it's still good anyway. You know what I mean? I don't want to get into that funk where, like, especially when I was watching TNA, they do this a lot. They would just swerve to swerve. You know what I mean? It wouldn't make any sense. They just did it to get a shock out of somebody. And I don't want to see that in Ring of Honor.
Well, I don't want them to swerve to swerve, Lex. I agree with you on that. I just felt like, don't make it so, okay, and I keep going back to this, but they had the whole thing back when Scum were in the tag team tournament and Carino came out and was like, and Scum had just formed, like really got hot. I mean, you know, really started. And he's like, okay, if, you know, me and Jimmy Jacobs don't win this tournament, then we're going to leave ROH. So everybody was like, okay, they're going to win because they're not leaving ROH. And sure enough, they won. You know, I mean, so they at that point, once they said that, they backed themselves into a wall because it's like, okay, to make this not predictable, we could have them lose, but then they have to leave, or we have to find a way to write that, you know, around that. Or we could just, you know, I mean,
but just have them
in a tournament. They don't have to say there's a stipulation. Just have them in a tournament, and they just happen to win. They don't have to make that stipulation.
They are doing something, you know, proactive about that, though, with Red Dragon winning the tag team title, Jay Briscoe winning the world title, when, you know, some might have said, okay, it's not like it's a complete shock, you know, I could have saw that coming, but most people didn't see that coming. And, you know, I think they're trying to balance it. I mean, that's a very fine line when you're doing this kind of thing, because people love to say, oh, I figured it out before it happened.
And I don't want to do that. I mean, it's okay to guess. We guess all the time, and it's cool when you're right, and sometimes you're wrong. It's like, whatever. It's fun. It's like playing a lottery or something, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, if he had said, okay, Nigel, if I win, you know, I get to make a couple of demands. And if they lost, we never know what those demands were, and it was like, okay, you know, he could always come back later and be like, you know, I want to make another demand. But for him to already put something on the line, you know, it's like, okay, like once he said that Matt Hardy's going to get a title shot, okay, that's one thing, because there was no guarantee Matt Hardy's going to get a title shot. Matt Hardy has been on a losing streak. But once he said, okay, Steve Corino gets to be on, you know, the color commentator, we all knew they needed somebody, and we all knew that that was the one who should have been there and was going to be there. So it was like, okay, they're going to win. I mean, that's just me. I just think sometimes you don't have to say less is more. You don't have to say – they didn't have to say as much.
Okay.
It kind of gave it away for me on both situations involving Scum.
All right. I see that. So after all this cleared out, R.D. Evans and QT Marshall come down to the ring, and they start talking. And R.D. is doing his shtick, you know, whatever, getting the crowd riled up. And then, like, the lights dim, and you start hearing this kind of, like, almost like, you know, with Taz, the heart monitor beeping and stuff like that. And so everybody, like, oh, the crowd started getting nuts. And they knew who it was. And I knew who it was. You knew who it was. Tommaso Ciampa made his return. Ran out and kind of attacked QT. RD got away, but QT got a knee to the face. And what'd you think about the return, the execution? Was it the right time, right opponent for him, all that junk?
Well, he's got to get revenge on QT, because QT is the one that, you know, he was part of RD turning on Tommaso. So,
right.
You know, you can't ignore that. I thought that shit was hard with the whole slow, you know, him coming out, and that was slick. And they cut the lights down. The spotlight was on him. And he was ready. I think once he got to the ring, it just kind of, because he didn't get a chance to, you know, really beat him down, because RD saves QT. But the whole thing building up to it, that shit was tight. That's one of the moments where you wish you were there live.
Yeah, and I like
that. And you could tell he was feeling it too, Lex. You could look at him and tell he was feeling it.
He was going nuts. And even on Twitter afterwards, he was like, oh, thanks to everybody, and thank you, and thank this, and I'm back, and this and that. And it was a cool moment, and I like when ROH does this. They don't do it a whole lot. You know, if they would have done this with Mondo, it wouldn't. I don't think we would have been praising
him. Oh, hell no.
But when Ciampa, and again, this goes back to them setting all this up with those training videos that
Yes.
Which were excellent. I remarked that it was the best thing that I have ever seen Ring of Honor themselves do, video package-wise. And then it all leads up to this. I don't think it was the tops. You know, I don't think it was the best thing that could have happened. But it was so cool with the dimming the lights, you know, the whole production of things. Ring of Honor is not a company that does a whole lot of production when it comes to that stuff. So to see them do it once in a while, I think that kind of adds to it. WWE, you see them do it all the time. They're masters at it. They're experts. They got it down to a T. And I think there's something exciting about just Ring of Honor coming out of their shell and making this important. So, and you can tell that Ciampa's going to go on to do some big things in Ring of Honor if he stays. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing I liked it was because I ain't gonna lie. I mean, well, I had already known, but I'm guessing that people there, maybe people at home probably thought it was a technical issue at first. the way the sound was connected with the, you know, with the. You know, you heard a beep and the lights would flash.
Right, exactly.
And people probably thought, you know, well, hell, the power's about to go out in the building. ROH, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
And then it would get faster and faster and faster. And then when that hard-ass music hit and he came out there and you could feel the energy, like you could tell that he was in his moment and they just received him. And that was just, I was happy for him. I watched that about 3 or 4 times, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. And, so, I mean, Ciampa's one of those guys that I don't drool over as far as his in-ring ability or whatever, but he has the potential to be one of those breakout stars like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, where he's not the best wrestler in the world, but he's serviceable, and he can bring the rest along with his character. So
he can do, yeah, with the, yeah, exactly, with his gimmick, because we know he can cut some promos, and they seemed like they were toying with him at first. They had him doing some stuff, then they had him doing, I guess he's coming back with the crazy gimmick again. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think they're
going to
do?
Exactly. He needs to find where this is going, what it is, and how far he wants to go with it. I think that's the most important thing. Because a lot of people that I see talk about Ciampa, they don't understand what he's doing with the whole nervous tic thing where he does the weird fingers in front of his face and all that. I just think he needs to find the sweet spot, you know. And hopefully that'll be sooner than later. But I don't think he'll be to the main event spot until he finds that.
Oh, he got to wait. I want to see him get TV title first. I mean, that's the road to it. He can get that. I'm just, again, you know, with him, I was hoping that he comes back and he would have that match, even if it's on a DVD taping or on television with QT, just to fully get his, you know, his revenge
right
before he moves on to something else. But it doesn't look that way. So
right, exactly.
Which is another thing that doesn't make sense. But anyway. You're going to get me fired up, Lex.
How about we talk about a good match next? I'm sure that'll calm me down a bit. Eddie Edwards.
You must be talking about Eddie Edwards. Yeah.
Eddie Edwards defeated Taiji Ishimori via the Die Hard. It was a very, very good match. My pick for match of the night here. There were some moments where it was kind of like, okay, you know, they're waiting for each other to do spots and stuff like that. But it was so fun to see a foreign wrestler come into Ring of Honor that hasn't been there in a long while and do battle with a guy that not only is one of Ring of Honor's most prominent wrestlers, but he's also well-versed in Japanese wrestling. So it wasn't difficult for Eddie to get into this at all. And very excellent match. I heard that the relationship between Ring of Honor and Noah is strong now. So we're probably going to see a lot more of this going forward. And it was cool, man. I mean, it didn't mean a whole lot, but it was pretty cool.
Eddie Edwards is so underrated, man. I mean, he put on a nice match on this paper. He's been putting on nice matches since I've been watching Eddie Edwards. I mean, and I just, you know, I keep saying I wish his title reign was longer. And, you know, he'll get a hold of it again. But, yeah, Eddie Edwards was one of those guys I feel like, I kind of feel like, who can I compare him to? Like, maybe like I don't know why I want to say it, but maybe like Jerry Lynn or so one of those guys who can wrestle and stuff, but he just kind of get overlooked by everybody else. And
well, yeah, I think
is it considered, you know,
people hate his promo work. They absolutely detest it when he was champ, and even when he wasn't champ. I think he works best as a heel, but even as a heel, his promos seem to kind of drag on, and he's got one tone, it seems, as far as he's always yelling. I like Eddie Edwards, and you know I care more about wrestling than I do promos and stuff like that, so, you know, I'd be cool with him getting another run. But
well, it's two things with him. It's that smirk when he cuts a promo, because no matter how, I mean, someone could have came out and beat his ass and tied him up and hung him upside down and whipped him with a cane, you know, and he would cut a promo with that smile on his face, and it's that tooth. It's that tooth that it's like it's in the way. It's a, and he's the coolest guy, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like just check any of his promos. He has a smirk the whole time. He can't be sick. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he does kind of have that permanent smirk there. Let's see. Gosh, what was I gonna say? Oh, speaking of teeth, have you ever gotten a close up of Steve Corino's teeth?
No.
Jesus Christ! I didn't think they were that bad until you get up close and those.
Why
teeth,
does he look British or something?
Oh, worse.
Damn.
Those teeth don't know what order they go in. I swear to you, they're all over the place, and you know, poor Steve. It's really bad. So, actually, you know what? We have to take.
Got married too.
Yeah,
so.
He did. We have to take a quick break. We will be back, break down the rest of the card, and talk about some other things. I'm gonna give you some music real quick. We'll be back after this. And we are back here for part two of the Ringside Report, episode 49. When we left, we were talking about Eddie Edwards versus Taiji Ishimori. Next match was the TV title match. Matt Taven defended the title successfully against Mark Briscoe. Now, I know Taven's your dude and everything like that, and you probably didn't want Mark to win this at all. So, but the way Taven is winning, does that kind of put a bad taste in your mouth at all?
Recording saved.
Oh, God, Skype. Oh, jeez. Oh, Skype.
Here I am.
There we go. All right, so did you hear any of my question there?
All I heard was, oh, we are back, and when we left, we were talking about Eddie Edwards versus... I heard that.
All right, TV title match. Matt Taven successfully defended against Mark Briscoe.
Wait a minute, hold up. You skipped Eddie Edwards and... You ain't finished. What were you talking about?
Yeah, we were talking about it. I didn't have anything else to say about it. Did you?
You ain't say who won.
Yeah, I did. When I read it, I said Eddie Edwards defeated Taiji Ishimori.
He deserves more than that.
Okay.
Name a spot that happened. What was a good spot that happened?
The only one that pops into my head automatically is the standing moonsault from the top rope to the outside. For Ishimori.
Well, ACH did that in his match.
Yeah. But the thing about that spot, though, was that, like, Eddie was standing there for a while because Taiji had to get set up and everything. And so it was like, Eddie's like, come on, come on. And that was kind of just one of those awkward spots, I guess. Overall, it was just...
Yeah, he just stood there and it was like, okay, see, Samoa Joe, in his brilliance, he would have walked away. right. Samoa Joe would have baited him, and he'd have walked away. Flair used to do that too.
Well, I think Davey did that in the Paul London match, where he just kind of walked away, and the crowd was like, "Boo!"
Ah, Davey was just being an asshole all night.
He was.
From the time he walked out there and threw the ring attendant out of his chair so he could stand on it, just being an ass.
Oh, that was funny, but yeah. So Matt Taven wins. Obviously, I'm sure you didn't want Briscoe to win here, but does the way Taven has been winning, is that affecting like your judgment on him at all? Is that putting a bad taste in your mouth and all that?
Taven can wrestle his ass off, okay? And, you know, I mean, how can I put this? People want to get on Jay Briscoe I want to say this in a nice way. People want to go on Jay Briscoe and be like, oh, he's a tag champion, blah, blah, blah. No, Mark is the tag champion. I don't see Mark as a singles champion.
Why?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, what is it?
I don't. Like, I just, not in his current goofiness. You know what I'm saying? I just don't. Like, and, like, I'm glad he didn't win. For one reason, I want Taven to, it's just hard to explain. It's hard to explain. Just, I like Mark Briscoe, but no, don't go giving him a belt just because his brother's got one, and don't slight Taven, who needs that belt.
Like,
Taven's somebody who can, he can, I think it's overkill with all these damn hotties and stuff. His entourage is too big. It reminds me of, when Tommaso used to come out there with seven other people dancing at the ring while he's in the ring fighting. You don't need all that distraction outside. You know what I'm saying? What's her face can stay? What is her name?
The redhead, Scarlet.
Where the fuck is William when you need him? Scarlet, yeah. Scarlet can stay, but that other one that they pulled out with the muscles, she gotta go. I mean, the way I see it is, Truth Martini is woman enough for
Well, that was a great spot when she was carrying Truth out. That even got my wife. So I think, listen, if they're gonna do the silly shit, they might as well go full tilt with it. You know what I mean? You know, there's no sense in going half-assed on it. And that's what Taven is he's silly shit right now.
What?
I mean, he's exactly what you complain about all the time with the WWE stuff.
No, he's not. He wrestles.
He is.
Taven wrestles. What did he do? He has a gimmick, comes to the ring with. He wrestles. Don't go jumping on the I hate Matt Taven. This shit is just... Payback.
He's acting
look,
like the belt.
Them bullshit ass bravado
that.
Brothers ain't no better. So I mean,
hey, they never disrespected the belts, though. I'll say that.
Oh, whatever, man. How's he disrespecting the belt?
He's acting like it's his penis.
That's the way you interpret it. Hey, look, I don't look at this guy. I think he's dick.
No. Don't give me that Freud shit. All right.
He's acting... don't look at the guy. I think of his dick. I just think he found a way to bring that belt to the ring in another way.
Don't give me that.
And who don't want to put their hands on gold?
Anyway, let's move on.
You know, rumor is that they stole... You know, why is this guy that's hollering about that the House of Truth stole that gimmick? It's this group. If anybody heard of some indie dudes called The Scene, and evidently word on the street is that Matt Taven, Truth Martini, all of them completely stole that whole gimmick. Kind of like when Scum first came out and there was some indie group that was like, oh, they stole our name. Well, whoever The Scene is, they call it The Scene. I don't know where they from. I got to do some more research. But if anybody heard about it, let me know. They saying that that's their gimmick. Like, they would come to the ring and do all that stuff. I mean, come on, man. You back in the day, you probably was like, you ain't mind when Val Venus was doing his stuff with the towel.
Well, what's funny is that Scum group is actually from here, my neck of the woods. They call themselves the Reno Scum. And it's a group of people you would not see as wrestlers in 1,000 years. Again, unless you've got it copywritten or some stupid shit like that, copyrighted gimmick. I don't know if I've ever heard of that. So it is what it is, I guess. But Davey Richards defeated Paul London by countering a Shooting Star Press and folding him up into a jackknife pin. Obviously, the thing about this match and the thing that everybody was talking about was where Paul London got knocked out.
They should have ended that shit right there.
Now, that's a huge debate. Another debate is, and I want to put this kind of to rest, is whether or not Davey botched the spot.
No, he didn't. He slipped. They'd even mentioned earlier on how under those lights, how those guys were sweating profusely.
Yeah, Paul London was shiny. You know, he was the sheen off of him was crazy.
Davey hit him and slid like you could tell when he slid into his face. Right. And I don't know if you got that video. Is there any way you can link it into the chat so they can see for people who didn't see?
Yeah.
But the thing is that I just kind of felt like I don't felt like Davey screwed up at all. This was just for all the Davey haters to come out. I just felt like that, you know, and if Paul London was supposed to win, kind of like Stone Cold was supposed to beat Owen Hart, then they went on and did, I could see them dragging it and Davey putting himself in a position where he was going to get pinned. But if Davey was going to win anyway, after he did that, you could see Davey checking on him like, damn, is he okay? You okay? You okay? He should have just dragged him back in the ring real quick, pinned him, and then the match would have been over. He could have checked on him, but because... They don't know the extent of him being hurt, and it turned out he had a concussion. He fucked him up, Lex. I mean, he literally stuck his feet down his throat. If y'all don't see that, look in the chat so you can see this video, and you can see it's only a couple of seconds long, how Davey's feet went in this man. I don't see why. I don't understand why there wasn't any blood. Paul London is not human.
Well, when it happened, okay, and it's weird, because if you look at it in the YouTube video, it's hard to see, but when you're watching it on the stream, and with the high quality, and, you know, the picture's a little bit bigger, it was very apparent that he hit his chest, and his feet slid up to his head. Now, what scared me there is that when that happened, I instantly thought that would have ripped Paul London's face off, and I'm not even joking. The way... It happened so violently, and he turned away as soon as it happened. I was expecting the camera to get it or him to turn and see, like, bone, on, you know, or just like a flap of skin. Luckily, that didn't happen, and Paul London suffered a concussion from it. Now, what happened next was Davey checked on Paul with the ref, and then, of course, Davey stalled for as much time as Paul needed. They decided to go along with the match. Now, I'm assuming this was London's idea to keep going with the match. Obviously, Davey and the ref aren't going to make London do something he's not going to do.
I don't give a fuck what he said. He wasn't in his right mind. He should have ended the match.
Absolutely not. But at the same time, if you're put in that situation, like, boom, it happens. Okay, what do you do now? And for these wrestlers who are always getting hurt and always try to think it's not as bad as it feels and I could finish the match, they went right into the finishing spot. And supposedly, Davey was supposed to win the whole time. So that was what happened was supposed to be the planned spot to finish the match.
I don't think he should have risked himself further by going up on that top. The thing is, he could have fell off.
Yeah, absolutely, and he almost did.
His career could have been over that night.
Yeah, and he almost did fall off. But at the same time, I think there was a lot of confusion of what was going on. Nigel was saying, okay, end it. But I think, I think Nigel has enough power to jump up on the ring apron and say, no, this match is not continuing. I know that he's matchmaker and story and all that, but I think he's got enough respect to say, top up there, especially with what he's gone through and everything, to say, no, this is done. This isn't happening. And if you do this, I'm leaving right now. But again,
it was just awkward after that, Lex. I mean, them standing in the ring talking and stuff. And all I'm going to say, I think Davey's jinxed because, I mean, every opponent, who wants to step in the ring with him now? I mean, every opponent that he's had, I mean, Marufuji, you know, I mean, what if this shit had happened to Marufuji? That relationship you talk about with Noah, that shit would have been squashed. They'd have been like, fuck you. Give us our own guys. We ain't coming back over there no more. You disconnect the call because I'm talking about Davey? Is that what it is?
No, I actually got a... I'm sorry. I got a message from a family member, so I'm trying
to... Oh, all right. I thought you was giving me the cold show because I was talking about your boy.
No. But yeah, it was a very scary situation, and I would have ended the match too, but I think in the moment, it's kind of hard to see whether or not someone's out of it or if they just got really hurt. So, hindsight's 2020, whatever. World title match, Jay Briscoe successfully defended against Adam Cole. I'm going to let you speak on this for a bit, because I know this was your matchup, and I thought the match was very crisp, but, it was what it was, so, to me, at least.
I was cool with the match. I didn't like the finish. I just felt like that more that outside interference shit. I mean, it was just, it looked like for a second Cole had him because he fucked him up. Like, he super kicked him in the face, super kicked him in the back of the head, and he hit the floor of the key. Jay kicked out. It was back and forth. Next, Carino comes up there with the shirt, and he's like, join scum. And Adam Cole considers. And then Nigel's like, I've got enough of this shit. And he gets up there. And then he's like, I'm going to go in the back and get somebody. He's like, oh, no, fuck this. And he's going to go in there and do it himself. So he hits the Tower of London or whatever. And Adam Cole's still standing there and shit, like the girl, like Ola Ray, when she was watching the zombies dancing Thriller. He's just standing there watching and shit. Like, he didn't do anything. And then for a moment, it looked like he thought maybe Nigel was going to attack him, because it looked like he was about to super kick Nigel. I went back and watched it so many times. And then Nigel just takes Carino, throws it to the back, and then Jay Briscoe hits the J Driller, and he jumped with that. I mean, he jumped when he did that one. And Adam Cole was sitting there with his face in his hands, like, I fucked up. And Jay Briscoe, he walked around the ring posing with the belt and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, he should. And then next thing you know, Adam Cole all like, Jay Briscoe get down from the turnbuckle, and he got the shirt, and like, now, bitch, what's this about you in this shirt? you know, saying, was you going to try to turn on me? And Adam Cole, like, no, man, ain't even like that. You know, you know, I wasn't going to do none of that. You know, I threw that shirt away. He'd take my hand. And Jay, like, all right, then, you know, I catch you on the other side. He give him a turnbuckle, and Adam Cole start posing and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you get your ass down here, you going to eat this like Paul London ate Davies. You know what I'm saying? And then Jay caught him and was like, the fuck, bitch? And then Adam Cole was like, oh, let me get up out of here. So he hurried up to the back, and they played Jay Briscoe music all the way through to the good part, and to the pay-per-view and all. But what should have happened was that Adam Cole should have super kicked Steve Corino off the top of the turnbuckle. You know what I'm saying? Or they could have still had that little Nigel moment or whatever. He could have super kicked Nigel, super kicked Jay Briscoe. Or no, Jay Briscoe could have beat him. Then after the match, he could have super kicked him, stood over top him with the belt, and the pay-per-view went off. That's what could have happened, right? So then I would have had an actual good main event at Best in the World, and not that fuckery that I'm going to get now.
You are bitter about that.
I'm very bitter about it. Because you know what a better solution would have been? To have Jay Briscoe up against the American Wolves in a triple threat match for the belt. That would have been a better match. That would have been way better match.
I'm going to let you... I just want to make sure you got that steam off a little bit there.
Oh, because, I mean, the way I'm seeing it is that at Best of the World, it could have been Tommaso against QT. It could have been, or they could have took care of that on TV, and it could have been Tommaso against somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like Taven or somebody. You know what I'm saying? It could have been Jay Briscoe and his triple threat match. It could have been Cedric Caprice against what's their names? Red Dragon. You know what I'm saying? Jay Lethal could have been going against Michael Elgin. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just could have been set up a lot different. I think that Delirious, something happened, and Jim Cornette booked this. I'm just something happened. Just ain't right. Because ain't no way in the world I should be seeing Jay Briscoe versus Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
And the main event. That makes zero sense at all. So you know what this message ROH is sending me? The message they sending me is that anyone who loses to Matt Taven automatically gets a world title shot.
I agree that doesn't make sense.
Am I right?
I agree that that doesn't make sense, but at the same time, Jay's champion. He's giving his brother a title shot. Jay's going to win. It's a good title defense. It's going to be a good match. I don't know why you're complaining.
No,
that's what I don't get about you.
Because everybody who's lost to Matt Taven has received a damn title shot. Adam Cole lost to Matt Taven. He gets a title shot. Matt Hardy lost to Matt Taven.
But
he gets a title shot.
How did they lose to Matt Taven? That's important,
too. Okay, Adam Cole was pinned. He got a title shot. Matt Hardy was in that match. He lost. He got a title shot. Mark Briscoe was pinned. He getting a title shot. Everybody who can't beat the TV champion is getting a world title shot. And that's some WWE shit.
They all lost for Tom Fuckery, and
they should not be getting no title shot.
Again, you know, you're gonna get.
I'm gonna say this one time, and I will not repeat it. I'd rather see Matt Hardy fight Jay Briscoe than Mark Briscoe fight Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah.
Two tears in a bucket.
Okay. You spoke your piece. No change in your mind. I get it. You're going to enjoy the match at Border Wars, at Best in the World. I know you are. It's going to happen.
The only way they can redeem themselves. All right. Everybody here, Ringside Report, first episode on Randy M. I'm going to call it. Either one or two things going to happen. All right. Either Mark Briscoe is going to turn on Jay Briscoe, or Jay Briscoe going to beat Mark Briscoe, and then they're going to have a little celebration at the end where they hold each other hands up and hug and all this other stuff.
Because
it ain't no way in hell that Mark Briscoe is walking out of there with that belt.
Exactly. It's a fluffer defense for Jay, but it's an important one because it's his brother.
It should not happen at Best in the World, though. Best in the World is like a big ROH event. You don't have no match
and
like
that. And the family's going to be there, and Baltimore loves the Briscoes, and it's going to be... I'm just trying to yin to your yang here. You know that.
Now, Wario give me shit, saying I'm just throwing shit around. Wario, what did I say wrong? You know I'm telling the truth.
Let's just play this.
You know what, though? At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they took the Jay Briscoe. You know, I think it's a conspiracy against world champions, not the WWE. I think that there's a conspiracy because Bully Ray, as soon as he won the belt, he made some remarks and got in trouble. And now Jay Briscoe, he's in trouble.
And we'll talk about that. But first, let's lighten the mood a little bit. And
you know, lightening this. This is some bullshit.
All right. What do you say, man?
It's time to get off.
Hey! Yeah, that worked. I feel better already.
I know you got that on your iPod, man.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to play another clip here. And this is not safe for work. Not that this podcast is. I mean, I've already swore a ton of times. But this caught me off guard when I heard it. This clip is from the Kevin Steen Show that is produced by High Spots Wrestling. And his guest is Michael Elgin. And Michael Elgin decided to tell this story. Here it is.
And I see that Connor's on the bed by himself. So where's the other girl? I don't know. She went to the bathroom. I now pick up the girl that I just had sex with and throw her over to Tarantula Gomez. Walk to the bathroom.
The black hole slam, surely.
Yes. I walk over to the bathroom to where this girl is sitting by the toilet. And I go, are you okay? She goes, yes.
What do you mean sitting by the toilet?
Literally, like, if this is a toilet, she's fucking sitting on the ground, kind
of
just like
in
this.
In front of it or between the wall or the bathtub? In the
kind of like in front of it facing the door. So all her back's like almost if the toilet was a backrest.
She could be leaning on it.
Yeah. I say, is everything okay? She goes, everything's okay. We came here to be with you. Didn't know what was happening, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, we can still be together. So she starts performing fellatio on me. Now, I see the light of the camera behind me. So I proceed to ask this girl if I can piss on her. And at first, she's saying no. But I'm being very persuasive and saying, oh, it's going to be so good. Like, you just keep going and I'll piss all over you, blah, blah. Finally to where she gives me the okay to piss on her.
The Kevin Steen Show is not the classy affair I expected it to
be. So, as she's saying yes, I begin to piss on her. Her deflection of the piss is this. But that ain't stopping no stream of piss from hitting you in the face.
So especially not from a Canadian crazy horse.
So as now she realizes that I wasn't fucking around when I asked her if I could pee on her, and she said yes, I was actually going to pee on her. So she's going like this, and all I hear is, no, no, stop pissing on me. They're laughing, I'm laughing, we have to go back to get my money now. So we go in.
Of the bet.
Yes. The bet that was laid down at the beginning. Follow this story.
Were you naked when you went to get your money?
No, I put on underwear. I was naked the rest of the time, though.
Fuck.
Go back to the room. Give him my $100. I peed on a girl. She said okay. It was in the heat of passion. He doesn't believe me. We try to fucking rig up the video camera for him to watch. For some reason, the video camera will not play it at that second. I'm telling you. No, you guys are going to fucking split the money, blah, blah, blah. No. 10 minutes later, Otis and Connor run into the room laughing. What's going on? What's going on? Otis is like, I'm drinking my beer. I'm telling the girl what to do to Tarantula Gomez. And all I hear from the bathroom is, Cindy! Cindy! Elgin fucking pissed on me!
That story kind of scarred me.
That's the most talking they ever let that motherfucker do. His nasty ass. How you feel about him now? He R. Kelly somebody.
Yeah, exactly. When I heard that, I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have clicked on that link. I can never unhear that again.
He said it with a straight face too.
He was serious about it. Oh man. And Steen's face that whole time. It's just like, you know, Steen's a guy that you never think can be like grossed out or whatever. Oh man, so classic.
What the fuck was? Where's the whole thing? What's Cheeseburger doing there?
I don't know. I did.
And they all got their shoes off and kicked up with the Red Bull.
I think they're selling these as DVDs, so each episode is a DVD.
You know what? I gotta disagree with you by fault just because that's what we do. But Elgin is fucking beast, yo. Match after match after match after match. That fucker is... Oh my gosh, this dude is off the chain, yo. He's like what Scott Steiner could have been if he stayed off the juice. I mean, he can do everything. Elgin is... I'm trying to think. Was Double A there for that match when Elgin went against... No, he didn't go that night.
No, I think it was the night before, so...
Said rolling around, sitting on doves, cat my hours, high on shrubs, cooling in my Escalade. Man, I'm paid, I got it made. Take me to your special place. Close your eyes, show me your face. I'm gonna piss on it.
Hell yeah. Piss on you. You went in the vault and got that.
All right.
Oh, man, he went in the vault. Elgin, nasty ass, yo. And Kevin Steen sitting there, like, cheeseburger balled up in the chair.
I don't know what he's doing there.
Kevin Steen is off the hook. He got a fucking podcast show with a damn easel in the back with some damn piece of board he got from Michael's or someone stenciled the Kevin Steen show on. Fucker. Elgin beast though. I gotta get that DVD. Yeah. That dude is fucking beast. They got their snuff in their mouth.
Yeah.
Oh. And the whole time Kevin Steen's one of those dudes that he's big, but he figures if he keeps his shirt down his shirt's already down, but he constantly feels the need to keep pulling it down. I don't know. I need to see this whole thing, the Kevin Steen show. I need to see this whole thing. Got to put somebody to work to see this whole fucking thing. This motherfucker high about pissing on people. Oh my goodness. Carry on, Lex, because you didn't started some shit here again. See, you cheered me up with the hoopla. I know what to cheer me up. Where's that picture of Scarlett Bordeaux?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You must not have seen that picture.
I've seen pictures. I just don't go crazy over that kind of stuff.
You know? What? Oh, my goodness. Some things can happen to her throat. Where's that picture?
Right. Moving on. Jay Lethal. Actually, not Jay Lethal. Jay Briscoe. He decided to take to Twitter. And what's funny is I read this tweet in the morning, because every morning I wake up, as most people do, I'm sure. I pick up my phone and I just, you know, I read the news or Facebook or whatever. It's the new paper, you know. And so I'm reading these tweets, and I scroll across this one. And this is what Briscoe said in two tweets, one right after the other. He says, quote, "Try and teach my kids that there's nothing wrong with that." Oh, excuse me. I read the wrong one first. He says, The Delaware Senate passed a bill yesterday that allows same-sex couples to get married. If that makes you happy, then congratulations. Then he says, "Try and teach my kids that. I'm a little flustered by this. Try to teach my kids that there's nothing wrong with that, and I'll fucking shoot you." Okay, so I read this, and, you know, it was one of those things that made my jaw drop and, you know, my eyes wide and stuff like that. But at the same time, this is kind of nothing new. If you've been following Jay Briscoe for a long time, he says stuff like this all the time. Not to this extent where he said he's going to shoot somebody or whatever, but...
That's the only part I found wrong with that, was the fact that he said he's going to shoot somebody, because as world champion, Jay Briscoe's got to be careful. He don't need no Twitter right now as why he's world champion. He don't need one, because Jay Briscoe, like you said, has been saying whatever he wanted and nobody paid any attention. Now everybody's like, bigot. The fact of the matter is that, all right, he has the right to believe what he want to believe, plain and simple. So if he don't want to believe, I mean, it goes both ways as far as rights is concerned. He had the right to believe that. All right, me and you cool. We cool as however, but if you was like, look, you know what I'm saying? I don't want, let me see. How can I put it? Because I thought this through all day. I thought this through nice and long. But if you type of person, you was like, say, for example, you want to teach your son. Yes, like, for example, I don't want schools period, to teach my children about sexuality and any of that stuff. That's my responsibility as a parent. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Even when it comes down to, like, I'll give you a prime example, Black History Month. Black History. That's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. Hell, if I don't know what your background is, but you Greek, Italian? You Polish? What you Lex? what I'm saying, like, come on now. If you had a Black teacher, Chinese teacher, whatever, teaching your children, I mean, that's your responsibility to teach your children about their heritage and stuff like that. So you told heritage. And when it comes to this, you know what I'm saying, like, everybody want to jump down Chick-fil-A throat. All right, Chick-fil-A, everybody know that that man who started that place is a Christian. All right, and a person, anybody who say they a Christian, obviously they're going to follow what's inside that book. And if that book got a problem with homosexuality, then okay, then that's what's in there. How you gonna ask somebody to? I mean, this is 2013 and everything, but you can't force somebody to your beliefs. I don't have problems with anybody who's gay. I got friends who are homosexuals. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, but at the same time, you can't be forcing your beliefs on other people. Plain and simple, it goes both ways. Don't nobody want it from the Christian. Don't nobody want it from the Muslims. Don't nobody want it from the homosexuals. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. I mean, I give you another example. It's like, all right, here we go. You at work. Say, for example, you at work. All right, you go into work and there's some dude that start there, right? And he hitting on you. You know what I'm saying? He getting fresh and he like, you know, Lex, you know, I got a game you can play. Okay. You want to see my joystick? You know, some shit like that. I mean, come on now, man. That's sexual harassment. That need to be taken seriously like anything else.
Yeah,
it shouldn't just be just you. Because you talking some female employee like that, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So I mean, leads. I mean, from a PR story, I think his punishment is severe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this man should not have to give 2 weeks, two shows worth of pay, to some organization, and you know ROH making him do that shit. They calling for his job. They calling for the title to be taken off of him, and all this other stuff. And if ROH stripped Jay Briscoe of the title over some shit like this, I'm done. Because I'm going to tell you what. All this shit that we dealt with in the 90s, with, come on now, we had wrestlers beat up hoes in the ring. You had people come down there with watermelons. And I mean, you got one guy now talking about the Mexicans and everything else. Come on, man. This is ridiculous, man. Ain't got time for this tomfoolery. This is some bull. If I ain't ever heard no bull, they better leave Jay Briscoe alone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just let it go. I mean, I can't condone it. I can't put a part where he's talking about shooting people. Plain and simple. But at the same time, as a parent, I understand what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have a right. You have a right as a parent to decide what you do and don't want your children exposed to. And that don't make him a bad person. He has that right.
And
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm pretty sure some parents out there that are like, okay, I don't want my children going to school with Black people. So, okay, go to a place where ain't no Black people. You know, I don't want my children to go to school with white people. Okay, go somewhere. That's your right as a parent. That's your right as an American, as a parent. That's your right that you have. But if you're talking about, I'm not going to put my children around any Black people or any white people, and if they are around them, I'm going to go shooting them, then that's when it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he was wrong for talking about shooting people, but that was Jay Briscoe talking. He should apologize for that. But to sit up there and high about, oh, he's a homophobe and all this other stuff, man, I mean, no one said that he was.
Yeah.
Come on now. I think people just jump a little too far with it.
This isn't the first, like I said, this isn't the first time he said something on Twitter. You know, a while back, they were in New York, and he was walking around New York and tweeted that, you know, oh, there's a lot of fags out today in New York. What the fuck's up with that? You know, he's just, this is Jay Briscoe. This should not be surprising to anyone, you know, unless, I mean, because people always say, well, I want people to, you know, not be so gimmicky, and I want them to be themselves with the volume turned up. Well, that's Jay Briscoe. In fact, Jay Briscoe's gimmick in wrestling is Jay Briscoe with the volume turned down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so what I'm saying is the fact is, once you do that, then you turn him into the person that he's not, and that's the problem that Davey Richards had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he ain't happy. That. You know what I'm saying? Once you start making someone corporate and stuff, and they should have thought about that before they gave him the belt. Plain and simple. Same thing with Kevin Steen.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he needs to go out and say this stuff on the microphone, but just know that you are cheering this guy who's a redneck that brings out a Confederate flag.
Exactly.
that carries guns in his promo and stuff like that, and you're saying, oh, this is awesome and stuff like that. Well, don't be so offended when this kind of stuff happens. Don't be.
Exactly. Wasn't nobody title. Saying no shit when you know what I'm saying? I could have rallied in Baltimore. I could have went right up the street to St. Clair to their headquarters. It's down the street from my house. I could have went up there and been like, yo, what's up with him carrying a flag? You see what I'm saying? But see, you know what they did was they made sure before they lined them up for that position, they took their flag and the stuff off. See that, don't you? And put some camos on them. They ain't stupid. Yeah. Man, come on, this is ridiculous. I think what the problem is in today's time, and I don't mean to go off on a tangent, is the media. The media, to cause trouble, they always do this. They make you think that anybody who's a Republican is evil, anything that the black is a thief, and everybody that gay is like flamboyant and out there. I mean, come on, that's the stuff that's just out there in the media. There's a stereotype for every group of people. When everybody in their right mind know it ain't like that for everybody. That's why you got people that live in different parts of the world. It's like, well, I never go to Baltimore. I never go to Miami. Or I never come out, this, that, and the other. I mean, we done had long conversations. If I believe left it up to the media, you know what I'm saying? I mean, for first of all, I never even knew that where you lived at existed until I met you. Because the way they make California picture that, it's just, I mean, you can just do what the hell you want, whatever you want, however you want. If you showed me where you lived at and you didn't tell me where it was, I would thought you lived like in Wisconsin somewhere.
That's true. And don't forget, we had this promo in the Attitude Era as well. So, let me cue this up.
You know, it seems our sissy friend is having a little identity crisis. First he was Dustin Reynolds, then he was Goldust, and now he wants to be the King of the Ring. Well, we all saw you out here with tears running down your face, wondering why your old man, Old Dust, don't love you anymore. Well, I know Dusty Rhodes, and he told me why. It's because you married the biggest gold digger in Georgia, then you put on a woman's wig, and you went around the ring kissing men like a flaming fag.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. The pictures they paint, Lex, and like, hey, think about it. When you think about homosexuals today in today's time, this is what you think about. They show parades and stuff, and like they show all these TV shows with men dressing up like women, this and the other. And you know how many gay people out there that you wouldn't even know it unless they told you. Or one day you go to some holiday party and you thinking, oh, who's this? Is this your brother? Oh, no, it's my partner. No, come on. That's how you find out. And that's just people like that. Everybody gay ain't sitting there wearing dresses and women that's gay sitting up there and, you know what I'm saying, they dressing like Ellen and this, that, and the other. It ain't that way everywhere, but that's what the media portray. You know what I'm saying? Just like, when you look at Baltimore, for example, if people watch The Wire, they never come here. They would never fucking come here.
And you know, to be honest, there are some spots where you don't want to go.
Yeah, but that's everywhere. Every state
exactly,
has
right.
it that way.
We have that place here in town. You know,
every town has it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure every town has a Martin Luther King Boulevard. And every Martin Luther King Boulevard is a hood. You know what Crick Ross said? I know the one here is. But I'm going to tell you this. Everywhere you go, every state got a hood.
Well, I mean, around here in California.
And it ain't always black people in that hood, too.
In California,
we got a white hood.
In California, it's Sacramento Street. Every Sacramento Street is, you know, the most run-down part where you know, people are running their dens and everything like that. And it's just the way it is. So
all I'm saying is that in today's time, people need to just get it together. You know what I'm saying? It's like in today's time, if you disagree, people say you have freedom of speech and this, that, and the other. But if you disagree with what's going on, then fuck it. I'm going to eat a Chick-fil-A. You know what I'm saying? Plain and simple. I don't give a fuck with it. Come on now. I ain't got no problem with eating Chick-fil-A. You know, walking through them doors, they closed on Sunday. It's a Christian company. If they follow what's in the Bible, then you know that they're going to be against homosexuality. Plain and simple. So ain't no sense in boycotting this, that, and the other Chick-fil-A. Go somewhere else than if that's the case. Come on now. The Ku Klux Klan is live and well. You think I'm going to walk up one of them rallies? I'm like, I'm going to shut this place down. That's their right. Ain't nobody else trying to shut them down. It's just really ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, as far as public relations and him working for that company, the stuff he said, he's got to be careful. And if they're going to deal with him accordingly the way they want to, and I'm sorry if, you know, I just kind of feel like that ROH, again, they need to be more clear on certain things. And if they were clear on it and he messed up, then I'm sorry, Jay, you know. But if they weren't, then that's something else, because they knew very well who they was putting that belt on.
Yeah.
They knew good and well who they was putting the belt on. Like you said, Jay Briscoe been saying this stuff. And nobody had a problem before when he was saying this stuff. Nobody. I mean, Vince McMahon got on TV What's up, my nigga? Oh, and that's the owner of the company. And I don't care how he was saying it. He said it. And somebody else could have, you know.
Right.
So why is it not an issue?
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever, man. Whatever. I mean, how you feel about it? Which you mad at Jay Briscoe? You don't want the belt on him, no way.
Well, you know.
So is this going to be a re...
No. I mean, I spoke my piece, you know. I don't agree with it, but at the same time, that doesn't surprise me. It's what he's always said, and I think it's kind of outlandish for people to say take the title off of him.
You know, I don't understand how people get upset because he's saying, not you. I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying I've seen some stuff that people have written. I don't see how people can get upset because he decided as a parent what he doesn't want his child exposed to. And that's his right as a parent of that child. Now, as far as he's saying he's going to shoot anybody, because the way it reads is, you know.
Hey, go ahead and talk for a little bit. I gotta tend to something real quick, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead and tend, because I'm going to rant on this for a minute. All right? Because the way I see it is that, you know, I mean, as a parent and all you parents out there, you know what I'm saying? You got to choose what you want to expose your children to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no, and I'm going to choose for me, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna teach my children about sexuality, period. Being my wife, period. Ain't gonna be no school involved with that. Cause I don't need nobody misinforming them or telling them something they think or something, some study did. No, I'm straight up telling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it's simple. It's just like computers. You know, you go stick in your disk and just any old computer, sooner or later you're bound to catch a virus. This man got to pay two shows worth of pay. He got to give to some organization, and he got to stand up and recant everything that he said. They probably said, "Jay, you gonna do this shit, or we gonna fire your ass." He probably was like, "Man, shit. You mean tell me you want it?" That's probably what Jay did. But yeah, that's just some trifling stuff right there, man. Shit. Lex, you back? You just listening? Send me a message. This is damn ridiculous. I mean, and then on top of that, yeah, more of my whole best of the world thing. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed because, you know what I'm saying, this is a major pay-per-view for ROH. Best in the world and Final Battle are major. You know what I'm saying? And they could have had a nice thing going on with Jay Briscoe. And that's what I miss in wrestling. I miss feuds. Like straight up feuds. You know what I'm saying? Just not having matches. There's a difference in people just having matches. You know, you can have group people that have matches and they have good matches when they have them together. But that's not necessarily a feud. And I want someone to have a nice, strong feud, you know, with good matches. So that's what I'm looking for. Something that you can look at and then those feuds get revisited. Something that you can make a whole DVD set out of. You know? So. You back? Damn. How was this? Yeah, man. So I was getting ready for the show and I was like, you know, I'm going to do something that, you know, I usually don't do, probably shouldn't do, but, you know, what would Lex do if he's getting ready for the show? You know what I'm saying? So I went in a drive through and got a couple of burgers. You know what I'm saying? Smashed them. Came back home. And, you know, letting this whole Jay Briscoe stuff marinate, you know, trying to think about, you know, what they're going to do to my man because, you know, I mean, I hope they don't plan on taking the belt. I don't think they're going to take it the best in the world. If they give it to Mark Briscoe, they are fucked. But anyway, with Jay Briscoe, I'm thinking that probably the pay-per-view after that, whatever the next pay-per-view is, they're going to try to take that belt off of him. And I'm telling you, mark my words, if they give that belt to Matt Hardy, if they give that belt to Matt Hardy, I'm done. Ring of Honor wrestling. That's an unforgivable sin. They don't have the right to get a belt to Matt Hardy. Disgust me. I'm serious, Matt Hardy. If they even, no, I don't care what form. I think Nigel McGuinness and Steve Corino are going to fight each other at Final Battle. I think Nigel McGuinness is going to come out of retirement and he's going to fight Steve Corino because it all leads up to it. And Nigel can wrestle. Nigel is not sick anymore. He can wrestle. He chooses not to wrestle because he's waiting on WWE to call him.
I forgot to mention the whole the Tower of London deal.
Yeah, I mentioned it. Remember?
I forgot to speak on it because it was so cool to see that. It was really unexpected, you know, just all of a sudden.
He's going to fight Steve Corino in Final Battle.
I just, you know, if that's his match back, I don't know.
I mean, who's it really going to be with? He's only coming back for that match. He's not coming back to wrestle.
You know, I think the perfect
thing. He's going to wrestle Corino for control of ROH or for that position, and I'm telling you, that's what's happening.
Right.
You can't see the writing on the wall?
I'm not saying that I can't see it. I'm just saying I don't necessarily.
He's trying to get everybody else to protect ROH, but nobody can do it.
I mean, I'd rather
Lethal and Elgin couldn't win that match, and he was going to go back get some people, and he'd, like, forget it. If he comes back for that one night, that will be enough for me.
I mean, I'd rather see him fight someone that he'd be matched up well against. You know, like an Adam Cole or something like that. But, you know, again, I'm not complaining, so. If he comes back, I'll be jazzed for it and all that good stuff, so. But I think we covered pretty much everything tonight, and a successful first episode of Ringside Report here on Rant EM Radio. Don't forget that you can also listen to The Rant every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on RantEMRadio.com, as well as Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to be adding more audio content. We're not going to rush it. We're trying to find the right people, the right fit for Rant EM Radio. It's not just a network where we just throw anything on. We really want to try to make it click and, you know, have people in here that everyone's comfortable with, you know. It's a different feeling. It's a family feeling around here, and I think we want to keep it that way. So not to say that you can't become family with us, you know, come into the chat room, hang out, talk, and get to know us and joke around and all that good stuff. And maybe you'll be on the air one day as well following Rant or Ringside Report or whatever. So check that out. Also check out the website itself, rantemradio.com. We've got articles on there from myself, from Wario. We have video pieces from you, Lee, because you're not much of an article dude. So tons of content on there, and we're going to have even more content coming up as we roll along here. So Rant EM Radio is going to be fucking awesome.
I'm about to do another video. I'm trying to think about what I want to do this one on, because I was going to do a little I got so much off my chest tonight. It feels so good. Oh my goodness.
Well, you were going to do an Iron Man 3 review, right?
Yeah, I got to do that one. I got to do that one because I was what does Wario call it? Something he said I was doing, but yeah, I got a little teaser out there about how I felt about Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
so.
the Mad Libs, or the Rant Libs, rather. Also, Surfer is bringing his show, What Are You Reading, over here to Rant EM. It's all about comic books, so look out for that, as well as Rage and You are going to be having a monthly deal here on Rant EM. Tell us a little bit about that, because I'm curious about that.
Well, you know, just teaching these young people, this young dude, because Rage just has some shit with him, and you see that shit he tried to pull tonight. Just he needs guidance. He needs guidance,
you
and
keep him in check.
Just going to be there to help him with you know, me and him have this thing where we go back and forth, and so once a month, you know, we're just going to talk about a particular topic or two, not too much time, and you know, it should be interesting to hear what comes out of. What comes from both of us. So.
Absolutely. Also, tomorrow we will have an updated History Corner. History Corner is, of course, kind of like our, as I said in the video, our homage to the AA Themes MySpace page, where we'll have some facts up there as well as some results from one of the events in history. I don't know what exactly. That AA's keeping that under wraps for right now. So, did you have anything else to mention before we head on out?
You know, it's something, but it's always something I forget until afterwards. I talked about Best in the World. I talked about just everyone, just watch out, because in Wario, I'm putting it all together now. I said I'd rather see Matt Hardy versus Jay Briscoe, but that's with the understanding that Matt Hardy cannot be world champion. All right. If Matt Hardy does win the championship, I will not watch ROH during the duration of his reign. During that time, Lex is going to have to get another co-host, because I refuse to give 1 cent that's going towards Matt Hardy.
It's okay. We'll just talk about yard sailing and video games the whole time.
Shit, well, whatever. Missed the whole thing. And honor to you, Lex. I had two pre-podcast burgers.
Yes.
Before the show started.
As
I thought about you.
As did I. I had two burgers, but one was a double, one was a single. So
them shits ain't sitting well with you then.
No,
huh?
Exactly.
Got your ass running back and forth to the bathroom. I know it. You got some of that you hope you ain't got none of that E. coli meat. What's that? E. coli H17057?
I like mine a little rare. I didn't cook it rare today.
Some Jack in the Box burgers.
So Jack in the Box is terrible.
Are they still in business?
Right. Yeah, they are. They used to be all right, but now
they were never all right. All the people died.
The last time I had Jack in the Box, this is funny, was the night that I took Dexter home from the hospital. Because
from what, Jack in the Box?
I took him home from Jack in the Box. Took him home from the hospital. He was in the NICU for a while, and it was real late when we took him home. And I was like, I don't want to cook anything, so I'm just going to stop here. It's on the way. And I got the worst burger I've ever had from Jack in the Box. It was so plain, so dry, so nasty. And I haven't been back since. In fact, the only reason I know it's still around is because there's a Jack in the Box right across from the Red Robin that I go to every once in a while. So
I have a Red Robin down the street from my house.
Oh,
I could walk there, and I've only been in there once, and it's been there probably for 7 years or something like that.
You're nuts.
And guess what? They opened up up the street from my house, too. This is weird. There was this big lot. It used to be an IHOP on there years ago, and then after that, I think it just went empty, maybe. Yeah, it went empty. Nothing was there has been there for years, and now they got a sign that says, coming soon, Sonic.
You know what? I hate IHOP, and I'll tell you why. The last time I was there was in 2007, and I ordered an omelet. I remember this, and I was like, I want chicken on my omelet. And so they'll say, okay, but we're going to have to charge you for a whole chicken. And I just looked at him like, what do you mean? You don't have this like pre-made, or you know, you don't have it prepped for the day, or what? She's like, no, just nobody orders chicken on their omelet, so we don't prep it. So if you want chicken, we're going to have to charge you for prepping and everything. And I could not get past that at all. That fucked with me for a long time.
Well, we have a lot of different IHOPs here. And the one IHOP we have, that's usually when we leave ROH, a couple of my friends, you know, my cousin, I go with him. Usually he'll ride down with me. And it'll be a group of people, and I'm like, look, I had a long day, I'm going home. But he, you know, he'll hang out with people, and sometimes they'll go places, they'll go to the after party and go talk to the wrestlers and stuff. So on this one particular day, it was like, you know what, we're going home. So three of us would go to IHOP, but he couldn't go because he's been put out of IHOP twice. So he's like, okay, we'll just take you home. So no, I know what it was. We went to go to the UFC, we went to go to the after party, but they were trying to charge a cover because it was UFC fight that Saturday night.
Oh,
and we were like, forget that. So we were like, we ain't paying no damn cover. So he got food from there because he was like, I can't go to IHOP because I got put out twice. He was like, we can go to IHOP. So because we went there, and at this time it's going on 1 o'clock, they were like, oh, we can't split the checks. Fuck me, you can't split the checks. Then after they was like, you can't, something they said, oh, we're going to charge you a gratuity after this time. I was like, charging y'all what? And all this other stuff. So I was like, never again. So yeah, I don't mess with IHOP too tough. And then the manager, another IHOP down the street from my house, I don't go in there too much because I might have to cave in the chest of the manager. He's an asshole. Can't stand him. You know, I couldn't stand him for like the last 10 years he didn't own that IHOP because he think he hard, y'all. I will go across his face. So I think about my children and I'm like, it's best for me not to go into that IHOP. But yeah that's pretty much it with IHOP. But yeah, Five Guys got like 3 or 4 of them. There's burger joints all over the place over here. But yeah, I got 2 burgers in honor of you. I ain't eat no more burgers though. They don't sit well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's...
It's like a brick sitting at the bottom of your stomach.
I don't mind some good toilet time. I've been reading McFoley's book on the John lately.
Don't lend out that book.
And, you know, it's fine. But it just sucks when I have to do something here. Because, you know, obviously, you got to run it. You gotta go.
Because you had 2 burgers.
Yeah, I know. 3 if you want to count the extra patty on the one. But it was worth it.
You had a triple?
I had a double and a single. So I had 3 patties.
Oh, I had 2 doubles.
Oh, wow. So you beat me out.
I hadn't eaten anything since probably about 3 o'clock.
And see,
that's what my friend someone got too.
I didn't think you ate any of that stuff.
I don't, but sometimes in life you just gotta say fuck it.
I thought you were on that green liquid diet. You know what I mean?
I don't do diets at all, but you know I have moments where I cleanse and stuff. But you know, you gotta live, man. You have to live, and there's times where you just gotta be spontaneous and do some stuff. I can't do it all the time because then it just becomes just some meaningless habit that's just irresponsible. For me, I'll just get and it becomes just some habit. It's like, okay, I'm here, just go get that. Blah, blah, blah. But every now and then, I mean, that's the closest thing to me, like, would be, you know how some people say they get a thrill, like, people are like, oh, why did you cheat on your wife? It's like, oh, just the thrill of, you know, just her downstairs washing dishes and me upstairs with the, you know, and then it's like, for me, a thrill is like, wow, you know what I'm saying? I eat a fucking cheeseburger.
Hey, man, I would argue that a cheeseburger is just as good as, some old-fashioned, you know, coitus, so.
Some what? What'd you just say?
And with that, I think we're going to end this episode, so thank you very much for everyone to join us in the chat live.
Don't forget our new music.
Yes, of course. I've got it right here, ready to go. Everyone that joined us here live in the chat, rantemradio.com. If I haven't said it enough, there it is again. RantEM is our new home. It's good to be back with family. It's good to be here, and I feel like we belong here. And it's going to be a very, very, very good ride from here on out. So thanks again, everyone. Till next time, for Lee, I am Lex. Later, folks.
Papers!
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ringside Report. You can find us at our new home, rantemradio.com, follow us on Twitter at Ringside Podcast, or like us on Facebook to see when we're going to be going live next. Also, you can check us out on iTunes under the Rants iTunes feed. Rant EM Radio family will be hosted under one iTunes feed, so check that out. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, so long.